If you have a Bible, you can turn to Colossians chapter 3. I think Pastor Joshua told you last week that I don't allow him to teach in the place that I've finished. Did he tell you that? And but he taught verse 1, I heard. Yeah. That's okay, it's God's word. And I'm sure you were blessed by that. Colossians chapter 3, we'll be studying in verse 1 or 2, if you'd like. I think you did 1 last week, through verse 17. But before we begin, let's pray together. Lord, we come into your presence again this morning and pray that you would help us. Help us, Lord, to learn your word, to understand the things that we read and the things that we hear this morning. Lord, help us not to be hearers only, but also doers of the word. Father, I pray that each person here would experience your speaking to them in a special way by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray that in all things this morning you would be glorified, that we would worship you, and that you would help us to be the men and women of God that you want us to be in this world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes change is good. In fact, for a person who has lived in this world, we start out in sin, the Bible says. But Jesus encourages us to put our faith in Him and to change our lifestyle from sinfulness, wickedness, into godliness and righteousness. You see, being saved, being a believer in Jesus, means much more than just saying the right words. It means much more than even believing the right things. But it has to do with a change in lifestyle. If a person comes to the Lord, then the Bible says that their life should be different afterward. From bad to good. From ungodly to godly. From sin to righteousness. These are the things that happen as our lives change for the better. And these 17 verses this morning are talking about the change in lifestyle that we, all of us, should experience if we have put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. While the guys, we had some brothers here, they were working downstairs, the floor below where the children are this morning. I think you've seen it down there. It looks wonderful. Pastor Craig and the other brothers who were working, and even sisters, I saw some sisters down there working. Praise the Lord. They did a great and wonderful job. It looks so nice, but I went in there a couple of weeks ago before I left for Sudan. And when I went in there, they were painting. And some of them were painting the ceiling and their clothes were covered with this white colored paint. Even the faces covered with white paint, the skin white paint. I thought that I was walking into a room full of bazungu. Because of the paint that was there. But their clothes were very dirty and paint was on them and they were there painting. And it was a Wednesday, just before the service. And those same guys and a few girls went and they changed their clothes and they washed themselves. And when they came up here to go to the service, they no longer looked white and dirty, but they now were clean and their clothes had been changed to be clean. Amen? And as I was preparing for this message, I was thinking, you know, that is exactly like our spiritual life. We start dirty. And as we sin in the world, our clothes become stained. But when Jesus comes and gets us, He changes us. The Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. And when Jesus takes us, He cleanses us. The old clothes of sin and ungodliness have really been taken away, and He has given us new clothes of godliness, righteousness, and holy living. And we are now changed spiritually. And so that's why I think this passage is talking about changing your spiritual clothes. Amen? Praise the Lord. In verses 1 through 4, it talks about our relationship with Christ. I told you that when we believed in Christ, when we put our faith in Christ, He changed us. We became a new creation on the inside. And that's what these verses are really talking about in a different way. It says that, in verse 1, we were raised with Christ. Pastor Joshua talked about that last week. Verse 3, it says, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, that's not talking about physical death. I think you are all alive here this morning. I hope so. Sometimes when I preach too long, it looks like you're dead, but you're just sleeping. Amen? But we're all alive physically. Some of us are more alive than others, but it's talking about a different kind of death. Romans chapter 6 talks about the same thing. Beginning in verse 3, you can read about how that our old nature, our sinful nature, was put to death when Jesus Christ died on the cross. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. When He died, it was like I was dying spiritually there, my sinful nature. The flesh, the Bible speaks of it as. That it was crucified with its lusts and desires, the Bible says. And so spiritually that happened. When I put my faith in Jesus, the old man is dead, and now Jesus has given me a new man. Amen? We have been risen with Him, so we died with Him in a very spiritual and real way on the cross. But we rose again from the dead together with Him. And so now our life is to be lived in the power and the ability of His resurrection life. Galatians 2 verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And that's very important for us to understand here this morning. Many of us are trying and struggling to live a godly life, but we have not yet understood this very real principle that our sinful nature has been crucified with Christ, put to death, executed. And now we have a new life, the life of Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit and His power. His life now is able to give us power and victory over sin, over temptation. And we can have victory now because of the life He has given us, and our old life has now died. That's a very real thing that has happened to us. But the problem is this, and you can go back there to Romans chapter 6 later, we won't go there today, and read about it. The problem is that even though our sinful nature, our lust and desires have died with Christ, even though we have a new life in Him, one that can overcome sin and walk in victory, the problem is many of us choose to live according to that old life that was dead. We choose to sin rather than to follow God. That's the problem. Because Jesus has given us the victory. the ability to overcome sin. Before Jesus came into your life, came into my life, we had no ability to overcome sin. None. That's what we did. We just sinned. I don't know about you, but I can remember before I accepted Christ, just sin. If it was compared to painting, I had paint all over. But we have a new life. Now we have the life of Jesus Christ in us. And we have the ability to overcome sin. The problem is, we don't use that ability, but we choose to live in sin. Our lifestyle. I'm talking about what you do day by day. How you live. What you watch. What you read. What you speak. The places you go. All of these things. You can either do good or do bad. There's a choice every day. And these verses are talking about that we should take off the old clothes and put on the new clothes of godly living. Talking about day by day living, which is important for us. We have been raised with Christ to a life of victory. We have a new life in us. But as I said, many of us choose to live in the old life that was crucified. Are you getting me so far? We choose to do those bad things that the old man did. It's still kind of a part of our flesh, the Bible says. We struggle, the flesh against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. The flesh is talking about that old life, the spirit about that new. And many of us choose to walk in the old life, which is not good. You're not happy when you live in that old life. Amen? Because this world will tell you, if you sin, if you do A, B, C, D, then you will be happy. Have you heard that before? You watch television, and they had the advertisements, and they tell you, if you drink this beer all night long, you will be happy. And in the... In the morning when you wake up, you will have no hangover. You'll feel great. That's a lie. You may be happy for a few minutes while you're laughing with your friends, but for the most, it doesn't make you happy. It doesn't bring satisfaction. That's the old life, and many of us are living that way. I read a story about an eagle. Have you ever seen that bird? It's so beautiful. It flies so high. You know, you see them flying around. I read a story about an eagle, and a certain farmer, he captured the eagle when it was young. And he put a rope on the eagle, and he put him in the barn, the place where the chickens are, with the chickens. This is true. He captured the eagle, he put him in the barn with the chickens, and tied a rope to him so he couldn't fly away with the other eagles. Well, the eagle lived in that place for so long that he started to act like a chicken. He was walking around and pecking the ground like a chicken does. He looked just like a chicken. Until one day a man who lived in a place with many eagles flying came to this man's chicken house, this barn. He saw the eagle there, and he said, "Eh." He was Ugandan. No, I don't know. What's this eagle here for? Why is there an eagle with the chicken? And the man said, "I caught him, I tied a rope on him, I put him in there, and now he acts like a chicken." So the man who knew eagles said, "Why don't you set him free? It's very terrible for such a beautiful and magnificent eagle to be here with a chicken." And so the farmer said, "You're right." And he untied the rope from the eagle. And do you know what happened? That eagle stayed there with the chickens. He stayed there where he had lived for so long, because he didn't know about the greatness of the sky that he could fly in freely. until the farmer got the eagle, brought him up to a very high place, and threw him up in the air. And then the eagle saw, this life is better. And he began to fly around like an eagle. Praise the Lord. Many of us have been set free by Jesus Christ. Our old man has died. But we are still living with the chickens down on the ground, doing the same thing as the world, participating in the same activities. And God wants us to know this morning, in these very verses, that there is a better life to be lived. Start flying. Start living in the grace of Jesus Christ. Stop spending so much time with the chickens of this world and start flying with the eagles of the people of God. You see, God has provided His life, His power, His ability, and when we start walking in that, we will be satisfied, happy, fulfilled, even when we have problems. Praise the Lord. Even eagles have problems. But even when we have problems, we will still be satisfied on the inside. We can say, as the Apostle Paul, none of these things move me. Neither do I count my life dear to myself that I may please Him. That's the life of Jesus. He wants us to live. And it says in verse 2, this is a very practical thing for us to learn this morning. If you want to know how to fly with the eagles, as it were, in verse 2 it says, set your mind on things above, not on the things of this earth. Set your mind on things above, talking about Christ, the Word of God, spiritual realities like heaven, the afterlife, all of these things that we read about in God's Word. Set your mind on those things, not on the things of this earth. The Bible says focus on the things that are eternal, that cannot be seen. Those are heavenly realities. It says in verse 4 that when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. And so we've seen that our life has been changed by Christ from the old nature to the new life in Him, but also that in the future He is coming back for us. Amen? Jesus is alive. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. That is absolutely true. He knows each one of you. He knows me. And there has been a day determined by God when Jesus will come to receive us to Himself. Those of us who believe in Him, who have put our faith in Him. The Bible speaks about that day in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In verse 16 it says, the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. There will be a day, the Bible says, this isn't my opinion, this isn't what I think, this is what the Bible says, there will be a day when Jesus Christ will come back to receive all those who believe in Him. The actual words are catch up, to be caught up together with Him. Many of you have heard of the rapture of the church, and that's what it's talking about there. Those who believe in Him will be caught up to meet Him in the clouds. And we will be with Him forever. And that is to be a comfort for us. Amen. Are you going through a problem right now? Some, probably. Are you facing difficult circumstances? Is there an issue in your life that it seems to be impossible? I know there are, because we're humans. Comfort can come through the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. You can know this, that even if it is bad here in this world, your circumstances, even if they are very bad, there will be a day when Jesus is going to come and take us out of the world. Praise the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. No matter how bad it is, it won't last forever. Amen? And when we know that, it becomes easier to endure the problem, the trial. Jesus is coming back again for you, to receive you to Himself. And so, we are remembering who we are in Christ. The old has died, the new has come. And verse 5 through 11 is talking about the response that we should have to that knowledge. We know that our old life has died with Christ spiritually, and that Christ has given us a new resurrection life. We know that to be true, but verses 5 through 11, really 5 through verse 17, are talking about how we should apply that knowledge to our life. You see, it's not good enough to hear the Word of God. Amen? It's not even good enough to believe the Word of God unless you do the Word of God. The Bible says even the demons believe. Did you know that? Yes. Satan believes in Jesus. He believes He died on the cross for the sins of mankind. He believes He was buried. He believes He rose again from the dead. He believes He's coming back again. Satan believes that. But let me tell you something. Satan is not saved. Praise the Lord. Believing something to be true intellectually with your mind, that's not good enough. It's when we put that into action by the Holy Spirit, when that becomes part of our life, is when real change takes place. And that's what it's talking about here in verses 5 through 11. It's talking about taking off the old clothes of sin. If I can go back to that again. Remember changing your spiritual clothes? Taking off the old clothes of sin. That means the old lifestyle that we used to live in. And let's read in verse 5. It says, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them, but now you yourselves are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with its deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Whereas there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. That's verses 5 through 11. Talking there about making a change in our lifestyle. When I say lifestyle, I mean whatever you do every day. I found, this was true about myself for a while and from other people, that many of us are very godly on Sunday. Amen? Especially Sunday morning when we come to church and there are other people watching us. Many of us are very spiritual. We can even say, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And so spiritual. There is not a sin to be seen around us. But when Monday comes, it seems, and this is true for all of us, I think, it is more difficult to be so spiritual on Monday morning. Amen? When you go back to work and there are no believers there. I think you know what I mean. When you go back to school and your classmates are not saved. Wherever you go, and you find it is difficult to be as spiritual. But some people, they are godly on Sunday. But Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Oh wait, Wednesday night when they come to Bible study, they're also godly. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday during the day, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It seems they are different people. And I don't say that so we can all feel bad about ourselves this morning. Unless that is a word from the Lord to you. Because the Bible says godly sorrow produces repentance, not to be regretted. And all of us can use a word of conviction here this morning. The way we are on Sunday, with what we say, what we do, should be the way that we are every day. So that if you see me on Thursday, I'm the same as if you see me this morning. And God wants our lifestyle to change. That's what these verses are really talking about. Our old lifestyle needs to be, like, just like clothes, taken off. It says put to death in verse 5. Do you know that is a very serious thing? Put to death, literally execute your members which are on the earth. That's talking about that old pattern of our lifestyle. Execute it. Jesus talked about the same thing. He said, I don't know if you remember, if your right hand causes you to sin, then you should chop it off and throw it away. Because it's better to go through life with only one hand than to enter into hell with two. Amen? If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out, cast it away, because it's better to go through life with one eye than to enter into hell with two. Now, Jesus, and also Paul here, who's speaking kind of the same way, put to death, was not teaching that they should go back home and get their swords and start chopping. Well, my hand caused me a sin, so I chopped. And I actually walked to do the sin, so chop my legs off too. But what Jesus was talking about was dealing very seriously with sinful behavior in your life. The truth is this. If you are always sinning with your eyes, it would be better for you to lose your eyes. But Jesus wasn't talking about outward things because sin doesn't come from your eyes. Did you know that? Sin doesn't start in your eyes and then go around. Sin doesn't come from my hand. And Jesus went on to teach that sin comes from your heart. That's where this wickedness comes from. And so what Paul is saying, put to death here, your members, and Jesus was saying to do these things, he was talking about that there should be a serious change in your life, in your heart, to deal violently with sin. And he goes on to list some in verses 5, 8 through 9, and verse 11. But first, notice with me in verse 6. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience. People think sin, oh, it's okay. It's no big deal. It's fine if I go and sin. But the Bible declares that God is coming to judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has appointed, Jesus Christ. God will judge the world. And if there are people who have sinned, they will be judged on the basis of their sins. A lie. Theft. Lust in the heart. Whatever it is. Those are the things that people will be judged for. That's why God's wrath is coming upon the world. It's not because he doesn't like people. He wants to punish them. He loves people. He wants to save them. But a sinful practice, a sinful action must be punished by a righteous God. Just must. And that's why his wrath is coming upon the world. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6, it says, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, talking about the sinful lifestyle that we've been reading here, because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Don't be partakers with them. That's what we're studying this morning. Well, what kind of things are we talking about here? What kind of sins? What kind of old clothes, right, should I take off? Well, a few of them are listed here in verse 5. It says fornication, uncleanness, passion, and evil desire. Those words, those sins, are all speaking about sexual immorality. Fornication and uncleanness, talking about sexual immorality of the body and of the mind. The word literally there in the Greek is where we get the word pornography from. Pornography, these sexual sins that people love to commit around the world. And so he's talking about sexual sins. Don't partake with them. Don't read one of the most popular magazines in Kampala. I walk around these days in Kampala and I look down and I see fornication, uncleanness, impurity. I see them all around the city. So do you. But make sure they stay there on the ground. Praise the Lord. Make sure they don't go off of the ground, under your arm and to your house. Amen? That's what it's talking, and also talking about having illicit sexual relationships. Those are some of the things we should put off. And also covetousness, which is idolatry. That's talking about greed. Have you ever heard of that before? Greed? It's when you just really are not satisfied with anything else except for getting. Mostly money. There's greed, also in Kampala. In any place you go, there's greed. There's a story about a man named Jack Benny. And he was very rich and very greedy. His fists were very hard because he couldn't open them to give any money. Very greedy, and he just had his money. He had lots of money, and he loved money. And there was a robber who came to him with a gun. And he said to him, "Give me your money or give me your life. Your money or your life." Because he was going to shoot him if he didn't give the money. And so a few seconds went by and the man looked at the robber and he thought. And the robber says, "Well, what is it?" And this man said, "Just give me a minute, I'm thinking." Trying to decide what was more important to him. Greediness, covetousness, wanting those things maybe that other people have, or we're not satisfied with what God has given to us, is also a sin. And it says down in verse 8, put off these things, anger, wrath, malice. And those are talking about really sins of hate and damage towards others. We've seen sexual sins, greediness, hate and damage towards others. I think you know what anger is. When somebody says something to you you don't like, you just... For me, I'm a Mzungu. My face can turn red when I become angry. So that's how you can know if a Mzungu is angry. Their face turns red. Unless the sun is on it, and then it turns red too. So you never know, really. Amen? Anger towards someone. You know what it is, and... It talks about wrath. That is the anger sometimes stays in our hearts. We can be angry at someone and just stay there and keep our mouth shut. And just speak quietly, I hate you. But wrath is actually talking about when anger comes out. Have you ever seen that happen? Someone knocks another guy on the road and they get out of their car and they're ready to fight. That's wrath. Talking about just these hatred toward other people. Malice is talking about slander, speaking, causing damage with your words. That's the most popular one in the church. Amen? We can't accept you if you stand up and start fighting here in the place, knocking each other. But people are fighting with their words, slander, talking bad about people behind their backs, saying terrible things about others. Did you hear about Pastor Brian? And they just talk. Except nobody, I don't think anybody speaks badly about me. And so it's talking about putting those sins away from you, those sins of hatred, damage towards others. Blasphemy, filthy language, talking about those sins that you commit with your mouth. Blasphemy really is referring to God. I don't believe in God, someone would say. That's blasphemy. God is dead, others have said. That's blasphemy. And filthy language. There are certain words in every language that should not be said by people who are saved. Amen? I know them in my language. You know them in your language. Don't say them. Praise the Lord. Lying. That's another one that is a sin that should be taken away. And some people have thought, you know, lying, I can see how sexual immorality is bad. Yeah. Hatred really is bad. Being real greedy, yeah, that's bad. But many people don't think that lying is so bad. Maybe you can say, and lying, by the way, is saying something that's not true to somebody else. Praise the Lord. And they can say, oh, it's not that bad lying. You know, someone asked me a question, I just tell them something that's not really true. That's okay. We've all experienced it, being lied to and also lying ourselves. Let's be honest. Some people think that's just a little sin, but it's not. Do you remember there was a married couple in the Bible who were in the church. They were part of the church, the early church. And their names were Ananias and Sapphira. And if you were to talk to them, they were godly and they praised the Lord and all that. But I think you remember the day that the offering was being given. Amen? The offering was being given, and a guy named Barnabas, who was also a rich man in the church, he gave a lot of money, a lot of property actually. And the people were so glad and rejoiced in the Lord. Then Ananias and Sapphira thought, if we give a lot, then people will really like us. Amen? I talked about before I left when you give, you raise the money up so people can really look at it and like you. And so they came and they sold their property, but they kept half of the money for themselves. That's okay. That's not condemned in the Word of God. They kept half the money for themselves, and they gave half to the church. But they said to Peter, they said, this is the entire amount of money that we sold the property for. This is all the money we got for the property. Here it is. And they were waiting for people to clap. And Peter said, he looked at them. Peter was a man of God. He looked at them and he said, why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? In my language, we say busted when that happens. When you get caught, we say busted. They got busted. And before he could even answer a word, this was Ananias, the husband. He fell down, dead. And the youth group came upstairs and carried him out. The Bible says. You go and read it. Then his wife came in after him. We gave all of the money, she said. And Peter said, you have not lied to men only, but you've also lied to God. You lied to the Holy Spirit. And he said, you hear those footsteps coming up the stairs? That's the youth group. That's youth impact. Coming up the stairs, they just carried your husband out dead, and they're going to carry you out dead too. And she fell down dead. Lying is serious, is the point. There are no big sins and small sins according to God. All sins are big according to Him. There may be different consequences in this world, physically, but according to God, all sins are big. There are no small sins. Praise the Lord. We're getting to the good part. Don't worry, verses 12 through 17 is the good part. You say, Pastor, that is enough conviction for one day. It talks about in verse 11, after it says to take off the old and put on the new, in verses 9 to 10, that there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all in all. Another thing that is taken off is prejudice, whether it is racial prejudice, cultural prejudice, or even social prejudice. These are all taken off with the old man, and the new man, there is no distinctions in Christ Jesus. Amen? So, the Bible declares, you know this, that all men are created equal. And that there is no difference between a Jewish person and a Gentile, a non-Jewish person. By the way, that was racism back then. There is no distinction, but we are all one in Christ Jesus. One thing I really love about Calvary Chapel Kampala, I get to look at every person. Amen? You just get to look at me. And sometimes I feel uncomfortable. I become nervous. But I get to look at all the people. And in the room I can see people of many, many nationalities. Black people, white people, brown people, whatever. Praise the Lord. I can see people who are from different cultures. Different tribes represented here in the room. But the truth is this, we all love each other. Or at least we should. Amen? If you don't love somebody, you can come for counseling. All prejudice is taken away with the old man. Social prejudice, poor and rich, all gathered together in the same place. And that's the way it is in Jesus Christ, and that's the way it is in His church, that prejudice has been taken away, and now we are all one in Christ Jesus. Jesus loves us all exactly the same if we put our faith in Him. Praise the Lord. So those are the things we should put off, the clothes. Take off your shirt of fornication and sexual immorality and your socks of this. Take off these things, these wicked practices in your life. And what do we put on? You can't just take off the clothes and put nothing on. That's illegal. Here's what we put on in verses 12 through 17. Spiritual clothes, really clothes of righteousness, we can think of them as. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. These are the things we are to put on. This is what our life should look like. Unfortunately, we are still sinful human beings. We all make mistakes. That's true. But more and more each day, God will change us to look exactly like this. It's His work, by the way. He's the one who does it. Day by day. And the Bible says this is the will of God for you, your sanctification. That word sanctification means I'm getting better and better each day, basically. And it's God's work, and we should be looking or doing these kind of things more and more as we grow in our relationship with Christ. So this is kind of a description of a person who is saved, really. The clothes, the spiritual clothes. It says, verse 12, tender mercies, kindness. That's compassion. That word, tender mercies. Compassion and kindness. Are you a kind person to others? It's kind of the opposite of being an angry person and wrathful towards other people. We should be kind and compassionate. It says, bearing with in humility and meekness and long suffering. Of course, humility and meekness were seen in Jesus Christ. He humbled himself. Amen. He said, "Take my yoke upon yourself and learn from me, because I am meek and lowly in heart." Meek and humble. People think, I want to be great, so I need to be prideful and real arrogant. That's what they think a great man is. But Jesus was a great man. And Jesus was meek and humble. That word meekness doesn't mean weakness. Amen? Meekness means you are powerful, but it is under control. So when someone says something bad about you, you don't say, "You!" But you're meek. Smile at them. "Thank you for sharing that with me about how I'm so..." "Oh, you think I'm stupid? And thank you for sharing that with me. I'll go consider that." And humble. How the church needs to hear that one word today. Humility. That is the way that Jesus Christ was. He was humble. He didn't have other people wash his feet. He washed other people's feet. Praise the Lord. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He was humble. He took the lowest place as an example for us. Do you want to be great in this world? Do you want to be exalted in the things of God and in his kingdom? The Bible says, humble yourself. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Praise the Lord. Let us preach that message daily to one another. So humility is another part. Meekness and long-suffering, bearing with one another. Long-suffering and bearing with one another is talking about patience with each other. There's this rhyme. I read it. I'm going to say it because I think it's so good, so profound, so deep. And it says, "To live above with the saints we love, oh, that will be glory. But to live below with the saints we know, well, that's another story." Many of us think, oh, when we get to heaven, all the saints will be there. We can live together. But what about those people you know right now? The people who do things you don't like. Amen? The people who it's hard, difficult to be patient with. I hope none of you are thinking about me. But we all have people in our lives that, even who are believers, who it is very difficult to be patient with them. That's what it's talking about here. Part of the clothing. Being patient with one another. Long suffering. That means if they make you suffer, you'll be able to do it for a long time. Be patient with them. Forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. Forgiveness is so important in the body of Christ. Has someone offended you? Has someone done something wrong to you? In Jesus' name, you forgive them. Love them. So it's talking about forgiveness, just as Christ has forgiven us. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. So if you have been sleeping for the past maybe 5 to 8 minutes, and you didn't hear of any of those other things I just said, forgiveness and humility and meekness and all these, if you didn't hear any of those things, make sure you wake up right now and listen to this one thing. You can not have any of the other things as long as you have this one thing. And that is love. Love God, love one another. Upon these two things hang all of the law and the prophets. When you look around the room, do you love the people you see? Or are there some people, you say, "I love him, him, her, I love her, him, him," except for that guy over there. Love one another is what Jesus taught. A new commandment I have given unto you, that you would love one another as I have loved you, Jesus said. And that's the most important thing. And the Bible says again in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, above all things, have a fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. My wife loves me, and I do things that are, sinful at times. You say, Pastor, I thought you were a pastor here. What do you mean you've sinned before? Yes, it's true. Even pastors are not perfect, though many of them pretend to be. I won't pretend to be here this morning, but I do things that are wrong to my wife, Lynn. And she loves me so much that it covers a multitude of sins. She is still able to love me, even though I do stupid things sometimes. And that's the way we should be with one another. It doesn't mean that you don't talk to the person about it. Excuse me, you know, when you knocked me in the head with your fist, that was that hurt me. Doesn't mean you don't talk to the person about it, but you still love. Love covers a multitude of sins. It's willing to suffer. It's willing to get along even when it's difficult. And that's the most important thing that can be in this place. That is love. Put on love. It's talking about here peace and thanksgiving in the church. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. In verse 16 it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And that brings in the importance of God's word again. If you want to put off the old and you want to put on the new, you need to be studying and reading the word of Christ or the word of God. In fact, if you didn't have the Word of God, you wouldn't even know about the old. You wouldn't even know about the new. You wouldn't know that the love is the most important thing. You wouldn't know about meekness and humility. You wouldn't know about what Jesus did. You wouldn't know about the cross or about the resurrection. You wouldn't know anything except for that there's a God, that He's powerful. Nature can tell us that. But the Word of God is important in our lives. That's why here at Calvary Chapel, I don't teach the word of Brian. It's not important. Even though I tell some jokes sometimes, I try to stay here in the word of God, teaching it. So important. And if you want to take off the old and put on the new, study the word of God. Some of you are laughing. You're saying that you don't tell funny jokes. They're not funny. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In all wisdom. And whatever you do, in verse 17, we'll close with this verse. I'm sorry, I've been teaching, I teach 3 hours in the morning up in Sudan, and then I take lunch, and then 3 hours in the afternoon. So I'm used to teaching for a long time. Amen? So we've been going for about maybe 45 minutes, so we've got another hour and or 2 hours and 15 minutes. I'm just joking. Verse 17, we'll close with this. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Whatever you do, word, deed, whatever it is, do it in the name of Jesus Christ, living in the new clothes of His righteousness. And listen, He will help you to do that, if you're willing. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. And Father, we come before You again to ask You humbly that You would please help us. Lord, help us to put off those sinful things that we read about today. Help us to put those clothes away from us. And Father, please help us to put on the new clothes, a life of righteousness, a life of godliness, to do those things that we read about. Lord, we look to You because we know that without You, we can do nothing. We can't help ourselves, Lord, but we look to You to help us. Thank You, Father, for giving us a new life in Your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to walk and newness of life. And we pray this in Jesus' name.